And so he says, before we go further, he's gonna, complicate things, right? By teaching us how to explain to the unbeliever what we're talking about, right? Explain to the professor or the roommate, a fellow student, a business or associate, the neighbor, that they are indeed a believer. And that's what he wants to get at here. Why? Well, it says because the unbeliever is a believer, he will have a good point when he says, right, I don't have an answer to that question because we're able to do science or study literature or do sociology or whatever without answering your question. So Bahnsen admits, yes, that is a good point, right? I can do science, I can do all of these things without even answering that question, without even thinking about that question. He says, these concepts we must understand that there are three of them, he says, before we come back to the unbeliever being a believer, because that's really what his claim is here. The unbeliever is really a believer, right? And so there is a believing. He's going to make three distinctions here, that there's believing, justifying a belief, and having a belief about a belief, right?
Right.
So believing, justifying a belief, and having a belief or beliefs about a belief. So he wants to clarify those things before he clears up this objection that, well, we can do science without going through this. Okay, well, let's take a look at these various three concepts, and then we'll come back to the objection. We're able to do science without answering this question, right? So
Right.
that's what he wants to take a look at.
Right. And you have to think too that when you're engaging somebody in a topic of does God exist or Jesus takes away the sins of the world and you should put your entire faith in him and live your life inconsistent with biblical principles, you might get some pushback. And the pushback that people tend to ask is, well, how can you believe all the contradictions of the Bible? Or, how can a loving God allow all the evil? And hey, what do you know? We've covered two books just on those two questions alone. And we're not saying that's not important, but this comes from a transcendental argument of with presuppositionalism. And so this is maybe what you will run into when you're talking to people, kind of going down this conversation route of, well, but we can do it. I don't need to know that tomorrow is going to be like today. I think the sun will come up tomorrow. Let's wait and see. And boom, there you go. So my knowledge has been justified, but because we just wait and see. And so here is where your answers might differ as far as how you approach the subject. But this is a good way of kind of understanding these differences between these different types of so-called beliefs. Right. So the difference between believing something and being able to justify that belief is something akin to say, well, what if I say I believe that it's 96 degrees outside? How is that different from saying I know that it's 96 degrees outside? So
So
I
he's making a
believe.
distinction here, yeah, between believing and knowing,
Right,
right?
right. So what's the difference then between believing a proposition and knowing a proposition? When I
Okay.
know something, I believe it. It's true, and I have evidence for it. I can prove it, or if you prefer, I can justify or give an account for it. Simply put, knowledge is, and this is entry level understanding of what the definition of knowledge is. Knowledge is a justified true belief. So those two
Right.
things.
So we
Justified
have a
and
belief,
true and
right?
haven't been belief.
Right. So we have a belief. It's true. And we have good reason to believe it, a justification, right? And so he says, when we have those three components, then we have knowledge. Now, there are philosophical problems that have been raised with regard to this definition of belief. They're called, there's a whole set of what's called Gettier problems, but he doesn't deal with those things. This is really the basic definition that most epistemologists, at least that's what I would think, hold to, right? Knowledge is justified true belief, right? And so that's where he's going with this, with his approach here. All right. So next, right? He says, what about beliefs about our beliefs?
Whoa, we're getting meta here.
Yeah. He says, so this is a general truth about human nature. Though we think we are infallible about what we believe we aren't, right? And so by infallible, it means we think we can't be wrong about what we believe, right? But he suggests that that's not the case. He says, in some psychologically high stress or high intensity situations, we're often prone to be wrong about what we believe because we've been told that the really progressive or politically correct thing to do is to believe something, and yet in our heart of hearts, we really don't believe it. But we've been told to, and so we tell ourselves we believe it, right? We put on the outward show, he tells us, and we want to convince ourselves that that's who we are and that's what we believe, even though we're not that and we don't believe that. And right. So the point he's trying to make here is that people can be wrong about what they actually believe, right? That's the point he's trying to make, because we can be kind of forced into believing something and telling ourselves that we believe it when we, in our heart of hearts, really don't believe it, right?
Right.
He gives the illustration here of a lady who has a bad kid. Remember that here in where this kid is in all kinds of trouble, and the lady just refuses to believe that her little angel has done anything wrong, right? But she never leaves him alone with her purse. Right? So she knows he's an angel, but guess what? He's not going to be alone with her purse because, the little angel will steal her blind.
Right.
So she believes that he's an angel. At least she's attempting to convince herself that. But in her heart of hearts, she doesn't believe that, and she's acting accordingly. And as we'll see here, that is what he's suggesting is going on with the materialists, right? What they say and how they act are two different things, two different issues here.
Right, right. We don't want to believe math because the colonizers have come over and they won the day. And so we have to reject all things colonizers. And so if you just Venmo me a payment of $500, you too can have your guilt washed away. But wait, hold on. I thought math wasn't the thing. And so we shouldn't do that. Well, it's good to do that because you're getting outside of your comfort zone. And, I'm just helping you along the way. So, yeah, this idea of trying to convince ourselves of facts and evidence that we don't want to be true because there are competing interests at heart there. And the kind of calling it political correctness is kind of fell out of old fashion now, but that's essentially what it is, and the kind of some of the examples that he brings up in the book. All right, so it's all about justifying a belief. So that's what we want to do. We want to be able to justify our beliefs. Everyone wants to be able to justify our beliefs.
Right. Again, that's one of the components of a definition of knowledge, right?
Right.
A belief that's true and it's justified. We have good reason to believe it.
Right. And these are the same questions that, again, you as the Christian are kind of forced to argue too. Well, if God... God doesn't like sin. Why did he put the tree in the middle of the garden? And why didn't he just come and, smack the apple out of Eve's hand? What, so these are the questions that you have to answer. And so we're just saying, well, both sides have to answer this question. So, okay, we should love our wives be monogamous when we promise monogamy. Well, why? If we're all just protoplasm hitting around, if it's better to advance the species, well, we should continue to have relations with as many people as possible to help that out. Isn't that the best way of doing this? Monogamy is a terrible way of doing it, other than sharing of resources, but just don't get caught. So
right, and in fact, and then the next deeper question is, why in the world should I care about advances?
yes, exactly. I'm here to help the species, and I'm going to do that by lying and cheating on my wife. So I'm doing the noble thing, right? That's what we want to do. We want to be noble. But well, why? How am I able to justify that belief? So, okay, when you kind of ask an atheist chemistry professor about the problem of scientific induction and how he can justify that on an atheistic worldview, he says, I don't know how you justify it, but I've been acting on the belief that nature is uniform, and therefore I don't need to justify it. I've done the same experiment every day for 365 days. If I do it for another one, I bet you anything, I know what's going to happen. Well, hold on. No, in fact, that's a red herring, distracting you from what he's doing. He's answering a different question altogether.
All right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that reminds me of that old story about the farmer who bought a turkey. And for 364 days, he went out to a shed, got some feed, and fed the turkey. Did that every day for 364 days. Finally, he went out to the shed, and of course, the turkey's expecting food, and he brings an axe. That day is Thanksgiving, right? And right. So, yeah, you may think you can do this over and over again, but the problem of induction can bite you. You know, you can make you into a turkey, basically. Right? Right. And so you need to be really careful. And so it says, you know, the question that the chemistry professor is making, or the issue, the question is, I don't have to justify, I've been acting on this belief that nature is uniform, and therefore I don't need to justify it. He says, of course he's not making sense, right? That question, he's answering a different question. The question has nothing to do with what we're talking about. He says, and so we need to learn to say that, and very politely, he mentions, to bring all of this down to the point, Professor, I don't doubt that you believe in the uniformity of nature, right? But I asked you how you justify it. So notice there's a distinction there between the two kinds of questions.
Right.
And so he says, when an unbeliever cannot justify his beliefs, then the belief is just arbitrary, right? And as we saw in the last chapter, the two major sins intellectually are arbitrariness and inconsistency. So if I can just arbitrarily believe anything, then I can just believe anything, right? And of course, that's not an intellectually safe and honest position.
Right. Yeah. You as the Christian couldn't just go, well, I just believe that the Bible is God's word. I don't need to justify it. It just is. And so they won't accept that position from you.
Exactly.
Right.
So I don't need to justify induction. It just is. Well,
yeah,
wait
just
a minute.
That's fine.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Just shrug our shoulders and we all believe.
Until day 365.
Right. Exactly. All right. But we need to go further. It's important as it is to point out this arbitrariness. It's far more important to drive home to the unbeliever's heart, not just that he believes something he can't justify, but that he believes it because, as the Bible says, he believes in God. You can say to your professor, it's obvious from your actions that you believe in the uniformity of nature. It's obvious from your actions that you believe in logic and in classes and concepts and deductive logic. It's obvious from your actions that you believe your mind is not just brain tissue. It's obvious from your actions that you believe in moral absolutes. Well, how can we account for all these things that you do?
Right.
Under the worldview that all that there is just the matter that
the
you
matter.
Can see and feel and smell and detect and touch and taste and shoot electrons at, all those things are the only things that exist. Nothing else exists. Well, things like the laws of logic and numbers and the love that you have for your children are just either fake or those things in a physical capacity. And so you can fall out of love with your children by adjusting your brain chemicals for a day, and that means you no longer love them. And so you get over that. Every time you go to sleep, you no longer love your children because the dopamine levels aren't sitting there when you're thinking about them. So you've stopped loving your children at that point in time. So
at least once a day,
right?
At least,
yeah. And so we're saying, well, how can you have these things that where you operate in the opposite of what you claim to believe, when it seems that you are operating in those things? And so that's the question on the table again that both sides have to provide an answer for here too.
Right. So here's the issue, right? The issue is Materialist, the atheistic materialist, doesn't seem to have a good justification, a good reason for believing that, you know, induction is true, the mind exists apart from the brain, all of these types of things, right? And yet they seem to act as if indeed these things are true, but they don't have a good justification for it. Mm-hmm. So their actions are defeating what they say they believe, right? And so the point that Bahnsen is trying to make here is that by their actions, they're really saying that they do believe these things, right? So he says, how can we account for this? And he says the answer is in Romans 1:18. And it's a clear statement that everyone knows God, right? Here's what the Bible says about why we're acting this way. You know the truth, and you're suppressing it in unrighteousness. And so he says, when your professor is acting like this and saying these things, they're being intellectually disreputable, is what he calls it. You know, the professor knows things and acts on things. His very behavior shows that he believes these things, and yet he will not admit it. He suppresses what he knows in unrighteousness. And when you point that out, right, he's either going to, Bahnsen tells us, have to come up with a justification, or he's going to have to go home and think long and hard about what you said to him. And of course, that's up to God, right?
Right, right, exactly. And so again, we're coming at this from an internal critique and then the external answer. So you seem to believe in, or you act in such a way that you go against your primary beliefs. Here's the answer that we have, and it's Romans 1. Here's why you can have those things, because we're all made in the image of God, and you're suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. So you're still unable to fully deny who God is. And so we talked about in previous chapters, I think three episodes ago, about how the suppression, you're still maintaining contact in some way. We're not on two different reality fields here. And so we're offering an internal critique of why atheists would believe in this fashion. And so Romans 1 gives us that internal consistency of why people act inconsistently. Oh, well, if everyone knows God, why don't they all praise him? Well, here it is, sin, yeah. And suppression of the truth and unrighteousness. They don't want to believe, but they still are unable to get outside of God's world. And so they're actively in a state of suppression. They're actively disobedient. And so that's what we're doing here.
Yeah, you know, and again, we take the lady with her little angel kid who's a you know, a hellion, we might say, right? She doesn't leave the purse unwashed in front of him because she knows how he really is, even though she's desperately trying to convince herself that he's not that way. She's suppressing the truth about her son. And the point he's making here is that the atheist is suppressing the truth about the true and the living God, who actually does exist and is in control of his world. He doesn't want to believe it, even though he acts as if it is true, mm-hmm. and doesn't have a justification for why he's acting that way, right? Well, right. He acts as if induction is the case and doesn't have it and refuses to believe that God is in control of his world, and that's why it's the case. And so he knows it's the case. He knows that there's a God who's in control of it. And yet he suppresses that knowledge. That's the point here that Bahnsen is trying to make.
Right.